sunshine and 65 degrees.
Seems like it could be warmer than that, Craig.
Okay, what do you want to go
with? Well, all I can tell you is that we are outside, inside, here over at the Arabica on Park Avenue in Amherst, and it is, you say 65 degrees, but I say it's warmer than it is if we were in our studio back on the fourth floor of the Lyria Broad Street Block building there as well. That 65 is cold. This 65 is comfortable. Maybe it's just because we get to see the sunlight and sunshine that's coming through here as well. Craig, I don't know, you didn't comment. I'm wearing my Cleveland Browns today.
I did notice that. What got into you?
We're almost up on training camp pretty soon.
That's right.
The end of July, and Ohio State football, they got a special preview show coming up at the end of this month. We got to start focusing on fall football.
Mm-hmm.
Back to school.
Back to school. And, can we say that on the air?
I suppose. And so, well, let's talk to somebody who will be getting back to school or find out what they do with the school during the summertime, as we will. We have Mike Molnar. He's the Executive Director of Educational Services in the Amherst Exempted Village School District. Mike, good morning.
Good morning.
So what do you spend your July doing here in preparation, I guess, for the fall?
Yeah, well, my job, I'm in charge of curriculum and instruction, professional development. So I do a lot of work over the summer of making sure our teachers have resources. So ordering a lot of textbooks and curriculum, managing supplies and things for teachers. So when they come back, they're ready to go.
So they have the supplies they need to properly teach the students.
Absolutely.
Are textbooks still in demand? Is that fluctuating? You know, is things happening with online textbooks? What's the situation these days?
You know, the textbook companies, they've done a pretty creative thing. Pretty much nowadays, if you order new materials or resources, the companies pretty much for the same price will give you all of the online with still the traditional textbook. So it's just as cost effective to actually get both than just to purchase one or the other.
Okay.
Yeah.
And they can easily update the online stuff too, I suppose, with current information or whatever. That was the thing with the textbooks, right?
Absolutely.
If there was one date change or something, all new textbooks.
Yeah,
have
you're
to
right.
Come.
On, you're right on the money there.
But you're also involved with, I guess, the gifted and talented as well.
Yes, I am.
And so you set up programs for them. Is that a challenge too, just to get things for them to? You stay ahead of their curve, I guess, in a sense?
Yeah, we have some phenomenal teachers, so they usually keep me in the loop as far as what they want to do for the next school year, and they're very motivated, so they always participate in all of the county different programs and different kind of competitions that they have, right. So they really do a lot of the work. I just kind of keep them informed and keep them to have the resources they need to keep going.
Okay.
When it comes to curriculum, we often hear about state testing changing every couple of years, it seems. How do you keep in touch with that and how that relates to the supplies and things you provide for the teachers?
Well, you know, state testing is important, but, you know, here in Amherst, we really focus on the students. So we're always focused on the programs and what we provide and the opportunities for students. So the textbooks and the testing is important, but again, we'd rather focus on what the students are getting out of it. So we keep current, and we've been doing that every year. You know, we were updating reading and math. This year we're getting about a ton of new books in for reading for our K-5 program. But again, it's all about the teacher and what they do in the classroom.
As Bruce mentioned, here we are in July. Summer's here. Back to school time is closing in on us. What is a day like for you in July?
Yeah, well, like I said, I work with vendors and making sure we have the supplementals resources that we need. I'm also kind of oversee the website, so I update all of the website. You know, we're going through some building transitions. We close the building, we move some principals, we move students. So I've done a lot of work on the website as well. And just getting ready for federal programs like Title I. I'm in charge of federal programs. So our allocations came in, and so it's my job to kind of plan how many Title IIs we have next year, keep them informed of what's happening. So it's just a lot of just managing people and resources to prepare for the school year.
Now let's talk about Harris and Shoup Elementary Schools. These are ones that'll have a final walkthrough. This allows people to sort of reminisce, kind of accept the fact that these will not be here much longer. Tell me a little bit about that process. This is an event, I guess, coming up on Wednesday, July 26th and 27th.
Yeah, so the community did a wonderful thing and supported us in November to support and build a new pre-K through 3 elementary school. It's going to open in 2 years. So it's going to go on the Harris site. So Harris has to come down so we can start the construction this fall and next spring. So yeah, so next week on Wednesday the 26th, Harris is going to have a final walkthrough where we invite the community to come and take a walkthrough and reminisce through Harris. It's on the Wednesday the 26th. It's open from 6:30 to 8 o'clock p.m. And then also Shoop will be open on Thursday from 6:30 to 8 o'clock. So anyone can come and take a walkthrough. Russ Marty, one of our teachers, prepared some commemorative magnets. So the first 100 visitors who come both Wednesday and Thursday get a commemorative magnet with a picture of Shoop or Harris and also the years that, of course, it was in service. So we encourage everyone to come on out and visit the last walkthroughs of Harris and Shoop.
It's kind of one of those sort of laughter and tears a little bit, I guess, for people who might be coming through there as well. But anytime there's a, you know, the transition from the old to new, there's people that have memories. This is also a good chance for them to come through and think, oh, I can see why they want to have a new school built, right? I mean, that's the other part of it, too.
Yeah, if you walk through those buildings, you'll see that it's just not conducive to 21st century learning anymore. So a new building, we know how important and the environment is for kids to learn. So a new building with sustainable features and a lot of fresh light and a lot of space for collaboration, that's going to be really cool for our students. So, yeah, but come by and take one more walkthrough for Harrison.
All right. Shoot. Now let's get to the real story.
The real story.
Well, it's apparently the ASEF, the Amherst Schools Educational Foundation, has put together a very interesting fundraiser.
Yes.
Tell us about this fundraiser that's going on related to those schools.
Well, as I mentioned, you know, Harris and Shoop, they have to come down. So this fall, the demolition crew is going to come in and basically tear down the building. So the Amherst Schools Educational Foundation is having a fundraiser called The First Bite. We're inviting everyone to kind of buy a ticket to see if they might be one of the first people to take a bite with some of the equipment out of the building. It should be a really fun time where you can kind of kick off the demolition and just have a, you know, something really cool for someone to do.
Now, Craig, you buy raffle tickets. Sometimes you could get a car in a raffle, or you could maybe get some other type of a prize.
Sure.
A fruit basket, I don't know. You buy a raffle ticket for a chance to operate the machine that takes one of the first bites out of the old school. And there are three bites. Three of them will be raffled off here as well.
So you have great odds.
So, yeah, it is.
Like a big backhoe, I imagine.
Who knows? I can't qualify what it might particular be. Perhaps.
Sounds like fun to me, though. Well, that's
$10 for one, $6 for $50. It's a good fundraiser. It also kind of makes it a community, a part of this. One required, though, you have it to be 18 years older.
Okay.
So any of those high school kids or those kids that maybe they're graduating from sixth grade or something and thought, I'd like to take it out on this school. Take that, you building. It's not available for that. But it's just kind of a fun way to.
Yeah, I thought it was very creative, very fun. I'm glad the school's foundation's doing that, yeah.
Again, what's the timetable for the new school?
So it'll open in 2019-20. So construction will probably lay the foundation this fall before winter hits, and then next spring we'll start in about 2 years of construction.
We're talking today with Mike Molnar, the Executive Director of Educational Services. I see that you were also a principal at one time or another. Is that correct?
Yeah, I was actually a principal in Sheffield Lake, and then in Beechwood before I came here to Amherst, back home.
Okay. What's it like transitioning from what a principal normally does to sort of this more of administrative?
Well, you know, when you were a principal, I mean, you had your hand in not only everything, but everyone, right? So the students, you work with students, parents, administration, board members. I mean, you're involved constantly. It was just constant solving problems and issues and helping people.
Right.
In central office, is a little more low-key. You have time to kind of plan your day. There is no plan when you're a principal. Anything can happen and everything will happen.
Well, that's sort of, I guess, that's the joy of being the principal, right?
Connecting with students, you know, go out for playground duty, recess duty, you know, connect with parents. Again, solving problems is always, you know, sometimes it's a lot of work, but it's a lot of fun when you help a kid or help a parent, you know. We just want to make sure that they have a great environment and a great great experience in Amherst schools. So it's busy, but it is fun being a principal.
Right. But, of course, now in your area, you can sort of think back to being a principal. What would they need to solve their problems and help them on that end, I suppose.
Yeah, it's a chance of seeing the big picture, right?
Sounds good. Well, we appreciate you stopping in this morning and sharing a little bit of the time. What's new? You said you help, you're responsible for some of the things on the website. Anything new being posted up there or information that people want to
We've been working on, of course, the facilities page. We're going to keep posting, you know, pictures and videos and updates about the construction process. So that's a big one. I, of course, had to take down the Harris web pages because Harris is no longer going to be there and had to update, again, some of the principal information. So we try to just keep things updated as much as possible. Nothing that's more frustrating than when you go to a website for a school district and can't find what you need or it's outdated.
Forms that you need or information about upcoming events, or you look for a schedule and it says 2016 and you're thinking, wait a minute, it's 2017. Why? Right? So you need to be a little bit of...
And I encourage anyone, if you have a question or comment or even an issue with the website, please just give me a call or an email and I'd be happy to fix it, work it, work on it, and make it better.
Sounds good. Well, we appreciate you coming in.
Well, thanks for having me.
And we'll let you get to the back to your Tuesday of all the things that need to be done here in July, August. We'll be here before you know it. And then you realize the calendar page is turning and you see the start of school and everybody's getting ready for another school year. We appreciate your time this morning.
Well, thank you for having me.
Mike Molnar with the Amherst Schools joining us this